Thank you tonight for all things. Our hearts rejoice for all of your goodness, your kindness, for your long suffering toward us, that we may walk in the power of your counsel, your knowledge, your strength and peace. We thank you for this day, Yahweh, for you've been good to us. You put breath in our loins. You put a refreshness in our souls and the joy that is insurmountable. The world cannot give it. Only you can, Yahweh. For that I thank you. I praise you. My soul rejoices for your bountiful blessings and all of your goodness, kindness. We thank you for salvation and Messiah, for delivering us from every yoke, every bondage of sin. We thank you for the knowledge of your truth, Father. Only by you, through thy Son, is your truth revealed. Bless us tonight here as we gather the saints throughout the entire world, Father. I pray for Brother William Patrick, Father, there in Illinois. I pray that you give him great deliverance. Give him strength in his soul and his mind. Touch our brother, I pray. Let him know that all is well, Father, and that you are the mighty one. Bless the Tuckers, I pray, in your sure name. Help us all as we pray for our enemies your way. We pray for those that despitefully use us and come against us and speak all manner of evil. We pray in Messiah's wonderful name. Bless the service tonight. Bless your word as it goes forth, that it may penetrate our hearts, and that we may dine on that meat of heaven. We thank you tonight. We praise you in Messiah's name. We worship you. We bless you. We pray for the healing of the bodies of thy people. Heal them, I pray. Give restoration in the house tonight, that we be restored unto the mighty power and the form that is needed to combat the forces of hell. We pray for the broadcast, that we may hear from your people, wherever they are, Father. Bless them. Bless the broadcast. Thank you, Father, for the gifts and the offerings today, for the faithfulness of all the brothers and sisters. Bless them, I pray, Messiah. We thank you, Father, in all things in that wonderful name of Yahshua. We thank you forevermore. Now feed us, as David declared, until we want no more. All things we ask in Messiah's mighty name. And the saints of Yahweh said hallelujah to the Lamb of Yahweh. Hallelujah. We bless you tonight, Father. And let thy word be a strength unto the hearts of the hearers. Give us ears to hear, Father. Open our ears that we may hear, and our eyes that we may see the glorious advent of the coming of Messiah. We bless you tonight for all things you've brought us thus far this week, to the fourth day of the week. There are so many that have gone on, Father, many into perdition and darkness. And there were those that you said, precious in the sight of Yahweh, the death of his saints. We want to be saints, Father, that it would be a precious thing in thy sight. You call us unto glory. And let your anointing rest upon your servant tonight, and the ears of the hearers tonight, that we may receive the engrafted word of truth, and it may be the healing of our souls, and the comforting in this hour whereby the very wiles and the powers of darkness are being exposed to the greatest debt. We bless you for all things in Messiah's great name. We bless you forevermore. And the saints declare it by saying hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. You may be seated. Very grateful tonight for all things. My heart is filled with the fatness and the goodness of Almighty Yahweh. What I think about all of his goodness and all that he has done for me, as the old saints would say, my soul shouts hallelujah to the Lamb. What I consider all of his magnificent feats that he has wrought, even in a wretched thing like me, I'm very grateful, and I'm very thankful unto him. My heart rejoices for all that he has done and what he is doing. He is going to clean his house And he's certainly going to clean his people. He's going to bathe them in the fuller's soap. We must go down to the fuller's house. He's going to cleanse us. Bathe us in the fire of his righteousness. And he's going to identify every spot, every vile thing, every unclean thing that hampers us from moving on into that place and that realm whereby we know for certainty that we know him. This is a generation that is filled with doubt, with uncertainties. It is a generation that really doesn't know. It thinks that it knows, but it doesn't. It has no comprehension as to what the Father is doing. For the minds are so distorted in this hour. A mind that is unbalanced. It is not a sure mind. The hope is not solidified in the souls. That's why they're up, they're down, they're twisted, complexities, because they're not certain. We must be certain in this hour. And if we're not certain, then you're not going to endure the very trials and the temptations that shall try you. When a man endures, he suffers without murmuring or complaining. He simply stands still. Still. He suffers. He endured the hardships. He endured them without complaining, without asking questions. And the reason I say that, in order for us to be assured of this great manifestation that shall transpire, we must have the power to endure. Now there is something like it in the hearts of Yahweh's people while we can't endure. It's a very simple thing that is needed in the hearts of his people to bring them to that strength of endurance. We don't have that today. That is just the truth. We need to understand our position. It's one thing about one in warfare. They must understand their position. You see that a nation like America, they have what they call spy satellites. They know exactly where the enemy is. They can drop their artillery without wasting time and effort, money, for they know exactly where the enemy is. And so knowing where the enemy is, they also know their location as well and their position. And we need to understand where we are, who we are in, and our place in him. And we don't understand that you're not going to be able to hold the fort down. And we need to hold the fort down. We need to be able in this hour, above all things, to endure. And the reason we need that, because we need to hold fast of the assurance of the hope that we have in Messiah. And many are faltering today. They're not sure. They're not certain. Because the word has no living fire in their souls. There's no power in their souls to produce fruit. And that's what the word of Yahweh does. It produces fruit in our souls. It began to bring forth an excellent life down in our souls. You can sense the power of his joy. Of his great strength of gladness. You have the ability to endure, suffer long. Without any murmuring to question, Almighty Yahweh, why me? For we know it's for his purpose. We know it is to bring us forth as pure gold. You know it's for the purpose to make us shine in the presence of a wicked and evil generation. That denies everything that is pure and righteous. And so you don't see much glimmer of light today. The minds are so filled with darkness. There is no soundness in the minds today. For the thoughts are filled with everything but Yahweh. Minds on every kind of carnal thing and natural thing. But the things of the spirit, the mind is not there. There's no remembrance of our sins of yesterday. That we can avoid those things. We don't stir up the pure mind because the mind or the conscience is so seared. It cannot receive the things that are pure today. And that is the conscience of this nation. It's the conscience of those that call themselves the sons of Yahweh. And what he must do, he must take his people and thoroughly purge them. He must scourge them.
He must chastise them. And that is what he is going to do. If you think he's going to speak something that you call rosy and appetizing to your flesh, you are wrong. He is going to cut it. He's going to expose your weaknesses, your sins, your corruption, the thing that will condemn your soul into hell. He's going to expose those things. And there is an element that is missing from the hearts of the people. There's no endurance to tolerate brother or sister. There is no endurance to forbear, to stand still. And I know if I ask you the question why we have no endurance, we all think we know the answer. First of all, I want to say this to you saints. I love you all. You better be guided to spend time with the Father. You spend too much time in folly, fruitless, frivolous conversations that produce nothing. That's why your light is dim, it's dark. There is no robustness to it at all. There are five wise and five foolish. You're going to need some brightness in this dark hour. But the very terror of hell began to besiege this land. You're going to have some light in your soul, some assurance to know that you're walking in the right way. So you can sit in the density of the minds. They're dark. It doesn't produce any kind of life. It doesn't produce any kind of euphoria. No gladness. No soundness at all. Because we are missing something that is very vital. We need that for endurance. We are a complaining generation. We murmur about everything. You murmur about your husband, your wife, your children. You murmur, quote, about your God, unquote. It's a generation that is very unthankful. It is not satisfied with anything at all. I don't care what it is, it's not satisfied. Just to have breath in your vessel ought to be enough to satisfy a man's soul. As the old saints will say, just one more day, you bless me with. We don't even consider that. And the very thing we think we have, we don't have it. I want to read some scriptures. I want to say to some of you dead expressions, or some of you all's dead faces, you need to begin to lift up your souls, all right? Don't tell me you can't do it. No life, no spirit of life. No, I don't particularly care if you don't like me. It makes no difference at all. I know someone else that don't like me. Can I tell you who it is? Well, the devil doesn't like me. So I'm not offended because you don't like me. He doesn't love me. So you're in company with my adversary. So I'm not offended at that. He doesn't care for me. And he doesn't love me. And he certainly doesn't rejoice in the truth of Yahweh. We ought to be gone to rejoice in that. Why? Because that's the promise of your hope. You're going to do something to your soul. Ought to make you glad. Change expression. Something is wrong with you, whether you're brother or sister, when there is no light to express gladness unto the Father. Something is wrong in your soul. You're missing something. You're going to die in your depravity too. He said, you want the righteous and you want the wicked. When a man doesn't acknowledge the Father of all of his great mercies, for his mercies endure forever. When a man doesn't endure, when he doesn't acknowledge the mercies of Yahweh, then we are all worthy of death. And he grants unto you that opportunity to exalt him, and you don't, then you, something is missing from your soul. You get excited more about trash and folly than the truth. Something is wrong. It has nothing to do with your feelings or your emotions. Yahweh commands a certain response and a certain action. He wants us to rejoice always in him. And we simply redo that. He means what he says. He commands us, you don't obey him. If then you say to him, I will not do what you say. He said, man shall live not by bread alone, but by every word. I want to begin reading its scripture. It says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14.
You must understand in this encounter that Yahshua had sent the apostles out. First of all, he told them, he said, I command you, saying, this is what he told them. He said, I do not want you to go in the way of the Gentiles. He said, nor in the way of the city of Samaritans. He said, don't even enter into the places where the Gentiles dwell. What is a Gentile? One that is uncircumcised, whose heart cannot receive truth. The truth is impenetrable to that heart that reject truth. And so the command is the same today. Do not go into the Gentiles and reject the cities of Sodom or Samaritan. He told them that. I don't want you speaking to the Gentiles. I don't want you going. He did not send the apostles out in that first venture to speak anything to the Gentiles. He said, don't tell them anything at all. And that was the beginning of that great labor. We're coming to the end and the close of that great power of labor. And he is doing the same thing today. He is not speaking to the Gentiles. Those that reject his truth, he is not speaking unto them at all. He said, there's nothing I have for them. I know we don't want to receive that, but that's the truth. A Gentile is one whose heart is not circumcised. The foreskin of his flesh is still present. That's why he responds, and he does things the way he does in his flesh. It is one thing that the Spirit of Yahweh, it calls a transformation or a change in a man's heart. You're not the same. You're not the same creature. You're not the same person. Your way is not the same. You don't act the same way. You don't walk the same way. You don't talk the same way. You don't respond the same way at all. There's a transformation. He said, go not to the Gentiles. Stay away from them. For he had one to speak unto to the Gentiles, and that he must suffer many things for his name's sake. It says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. Scripture says, he said, when you go, he said, and whosoever shall not receive you, shall not welcome you, acknowledge that I have sent you with this great command and charge, he said, nor hear your words, the words that you speak unto them, they will be profound words. They will flow from the inwardmost parts of your belly. It will not be according to your mandate or what you perceive what to be said, but it will be according to my laws and commandments that you will speak unto that house. He says, if they will not hear or receive you or your words, when you depart out of that house or city, he says, shake the dust off of your feet. Forget about them. He said, don't even consider them. Yet we will not do what the Father says. He said, shake the dust off of your feet. He said, don't even let them even trouble you at all. Yet we do very opposite of what he says. When a man will not hear the very profound truth of Yahweh, when he will not receive the words of faith, then the scripture means what he says. You shake the dust off of your feet. You reject them because Yahweh has. He's not what you think he is. And the reason you don't know him is because you don't spend enough time trying to find out his ways and find out what he commands us to do. So we don't spend enough time for that. We spend ample time finding out how corrupt our flesh is, how to appease it, how to give it more room to become even more corrupt. Now we do spend time doing that. You hold fast to your ill ways, your corrupt ways, your anger, your hostility, your sinful, wicked ways, and they're going to condemn your soul into hell. You can go find you any kind of charlatan preacher all over America, but I tell you the truth is going to condemn your soul into hell. You're not going to hear his faith, the words of faith, and reject them. You're not going to hear the words of faith that will change a man's soul, and you reject that. You're not going to do that. He said, forget about them. You shake them off. He calls them dust. Shake the dust off of your feet.
Don't even consider treading the place again. He said, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment. Do you hear that? Than for that city or that house. He says, Sodom will have more mercy than that house or that city. And today men are rejecting his profound truth. And he tells us that Sodom and Gomorrah will have a more splendid mercy shown unto them than to that city. Well, he's talking about cities, Pastor Roberts. Are we not cities that sit upon a hill? Should we not be a lit city, a city of lights? He said it will be more tolerable for that wicked place of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city, for that one. For that one that will not receive this truth. That's why he did not send them to the Gentiles. He sent them to the house of Israel. He did not send them to one Gentile. He said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. If you look at verse 5 of the same chapter, he would tell you, go not in the way of the Gentiles, neither into the city of Samaritans. He said, oh, well, this is not for them. It is not for that house of the Gentiles. There's a people that I've called, and there's one that shall suffer many things for my name's sake. And he is Saul, and him I shall send to the Gentiles. And that's what he did. He hasn't changed that at all. Not one bit at all. And those that rejected him, he shook the dust off his feet. He always means what he says. The spirit of endurance, you're going to need that in this time. You think you can endure? You can't even endure even the least of opposition. The smallest amount of affliction, you run to your flesh, you run to your corrupt ways, you try to find remedy in flesh, no prayer, no fasting, no denying of flesh. You run to nothing but that corrupt, deceitful flesh that despises the laws of Yahweh, that rejects the laws of Yahweh, that is not subject to the laws, neither indeed can be. And you run for consolation to your flesh. There's only one consolation, and that is in the counsel of Almighty Yahweh. It's not going to come any other way. And that's when you'll find the demise of hell, Satan working in your mind. Your spirit began to build a kingdom power in the innermost parts of your mind. And your mind and your conscience become seared toward the word of Yahweh where you can't even receive it. You can't hear it. And you can't accept that. It's going to take this kind of preaching to break the shackles in this hour. This is a stubborn generation. It is hard. And that's the truth. No doubt about that. He says in verse 16, he said, behold, I want you to understand that I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And that is one thing that a wolf loves. The delicate feet of a sheep. He says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of this wicked, devilish generation that loves to tear, to destroy, has no mercy at all. He said, be ye therefore wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. He said, let everything you do, don't let anything harm me. Don't do anything against me. They don't want to receive you. Don't even fight them. Let them go. You wipe the dust off of your feet. He said, they're wolves. They're wolves in sheep clothing, what they are. They pretend that they're sheep, but they're wolves. They talk like a sheep. They try to bear like a sheep. But their spirit is nothing but a beast spirit. They blaspheme Yahweh, his name. They reject his profound truth. They will not walk in his counsel of his laws. And they deny the very power of his truth that it dwells in a man's soul. When a man has the power of the truth, he's free from the law of sin and flesh. He can walk free from that. And he can walk as a son of Yahweh. Scripture says that. We give in the flesh every kind of excuse and every kind of reason to sin. We never say that I curse this vile spirit. I curse it by the root that it will not spring up again. And you water that thing. You give increase to it. And you don't get better. You get worse and worse. That's the truth. He says in verse 17, but beware of men. Yes, he means what he says. Beware of men. For they will deliver you to the council. And they will scourge you in their synagogue, in their religious places. Ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony for them and the Gentiles. It says what? Against them. And that is what he's doing today. There's going to be a testimony against the kings and the Gentiles. He shall brought you forth, I sent you forth to be a testimony against them. Well, you would think he sent them forth to be a testimony for them. He says, sent you to be a testimony against them, against the kings and against the Gentiles. I sent you as for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. When they shall deliver you up, what a profound statement. Take no thought of what ye shall speak. And this is a generation that loves to take thought. I will tell you what I think. I will tell you how I feel. I will give you some of my opinion, my mind. And they think they literally arm themselves with something that is of great strength. He said, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak. He said, I'm not leaving this up to you. He's not leaving this up to man today. No, he isn't. That's why he said, I can't leave you comfortless. I will pray to the Father. He will send another comforter. He said, it will not, I want you to know, so don't take any comfort in that. And yet they went out and they came back talking about, oh, the dead, the sick is healed, the dead raised, the demons flee. He said, my, you have missed the whole purpose. Yeah, He said, you ought to rejoice that you understand that there's a name written in the glory of the kingdom, and that is your name. He said, don't even think it's you that's doing the job. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your what? Father, which speaketh in you. Now that's what Messiah said. He says not you, but it's the Spirit of your Father. Not Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jacob. He said, but it's the Spirit of your Father. Now that's what Scripture says. It's the Spirit of your Father. It is the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now tell me, my friends, what is the Spirit that speaketh in you today? When someone offends you before you, even allow the Spirit to speak, you began to speak your wicked mind. It's the Spirit of a bastard because it has no Father. He says the Spirit of the Father that will speak. When they accuse me of something, then if you know your Father, then let Him speak. But when He speaks, He brings condemnation and judgment. You don't speak that way. You speak with the lies and the corruption. That's this generation and this nation, this corrupt identity that we have today. And that's the truth. That is the truth. He said, I want you to know something. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. Oh, not my brother. That's what Scripture says. My brother loves me. Oh, my sister, she loves me. He said, brother shall deliver a brother. When this beast power filled this earth, it's already entrenched. The minds of seer today. There's no love for Yahweh, no love for God, no love for Lord. There's only one love, and that's the love of the flesh. That's it. He said, brothers shall deliver brothers to death. And father, the child, you fathers, you mean deliver your child? Oh, that's a lie. He doesn't mean that. You're a liar. He didn't speak in a foreign tongue. He spoke words that were cut down to the very core of their souls. Father, delivering up there, up the child. This trash you call love, that ain't no love. Even the father, even the scripture even tell you, to spare not the rod on your youngest. If he cries, spare not his soul, thou beatest him. The scripture says you deliver his soul from hell. And you tell me you love him? You're flat out liar. You're flat out hypocrite. You don't even know what love is. You deliver that soul unto the powers of hell, unto the court of darkness, because you don't obey what Yahweh says. He said, and the children shall rise up against their parents. Oh, that's not happening today. They don't rise up against their parents. They will not try to correct their fathers or their mothers. Our children are very, very pleasant little things, they're little creatures. They will never speak that. Messiah said they would. He said they would. And caused them to be put to death. He caused them to, even the spirit of parents to die today. No love for the Father. No light in their visage. No love to do right. They cut their souls off from the truth. Because they don't press for the truth. You know, my wife, we were talking, she looked at me last night and said, concerning a little a child. And I said, Sister Roberts, no, we would have had a little girl. She said, no, a boy. I said, no, a little girl. She said, it would be spoiled. I said, well, when I finished whipping the front of his butt, or backside, sure I would have. I understand the power of love. I know what the scripture says. I know what Yahweh intends for us to do. And we just don't do what he says. We disobey him. And you'll be the first one to say you love him. Lies. Wives, you indifferent to your husband, you don't love Yahweh. You can't even love him unless you love your husband. And that's the truth. You don't submit to your husband. You're a flat out liar. You are a hypocrite on your way to hell. You need deliverance from your own bondage. Husband, you can't love your wife as Messiah. Love your sibling. You can't say you love Yahweh. You're a flat out hypocrite and a liar. You know, I don't care if you don't appreciate me. The trash you all call love around here, holding hands and squeezing, that's not love. That's just a fleshly manifestation. That ain't love. Ain't nothing to that. The world does that and they don't love. That's not love. And that's the truth. I'll show you the power of love. You're going to need this in order to endure. That's why you can't endure. That's why you can't tolerate one another. That's why there's no ability to endure anyone, because there's nothing pure in your heart. And that's the truth. It is. But one has the ability to endure, they don't get angry fast. They don't lash out with anger and hostility all the time. Ready to avenge themselves. No endurance. We're going to need that in this hour with the opposition that is coming against the body of Messiah. You're going to need that in this hour. You're going to be able to suffer long. And to endure the afflictions as a good soldier. You're going to need that. Sure, you're going to need it. He says unto them, verse 22, and ye shall be hated of some men, but he said all men. Not some, all men, for my name's sake. And men are going to hate you because of that name. He said, but I want to tell you something. But he that endureth unto the end, he will be saved. Now you must endure because our assurance is there's salvation. And so you endure that because you know you have salvation. Why? Because he gave you a criteria of what things you're going to endure. He told us in the verse 5 on down, there will be many sorrows and many things that will transpire in the earth. But don't let those things trouble you. He said you endure those things. You endure them. You stand still. Keep your place patiently. Although everything around you is falling, you have a determination because there is an assurance of hope in Messiah. And so you don't allow that to be robbed from your soul and your heart. You stand still. You cause your feet to be planted. He gave them great signs and wonders to show them that he was with them. What a great sign he's given unto us today. That his truth is being manifest. And when his truth is manifest, it breaks every shackle. It breaks every bondage that caused you to be bound and caused you to be brought into captivity. There's nothing that brings you into captivity more than your own natural carnal mind. It is not some man or some woman. It is your own natural corrupt mind. The issues of your own heart, they bring you into bondage whereby you can't even break the shackles of those things. You try to get free, you can't get free. You try to find a place and you can't find no place. There's only one comfort and one place of refuge, and that's in Yahweh. You can't find it no other way. You're going to find it in His counsel. The mighty power of the deeds and the works that He has already done. Not what He is going to do, but what He's already done. The works already finished. Messiah said, I'll finish the works. I've given them an assurance and a hope whereby they can stand and endure until the end. We can't endure until the end. When all opposition come against you, when your own mind battles you, you can't endure. You can bring that subjected unto the lawful amount of Yahweh. You bring the thoughts, your mind, and your flesh unto the subjection of the law of righteousness. And you do what He tells you to do and commands you to do. You don't do that, you will never have the ability to endure. And that's why relationships don't endure today. That's why friendships don't endure. Some of you all, you've been friends with everyone, and you've never been a friend to anyone. You can't even endure. And that's the truth. He's dealing with His house. His people. He's going to show them their sins. And their corruption. And a harlot can't do that. He's going to give pastors and men after His own hearts. And they're going to feed us with knowledge and understanding. The prophets, the evangelists, the teachers shall speak unto us truths, truths that transcends the law of our flesh and our nature. We need that in this hour. Scripture says it, Matthew chapter 24. I want to read this for you. 24 and verse 10. He warned them to take heed, for there shall be many deceivers that shall come. Many deceivers. And He said, well, you began to see that. We began to see men deceived. You know that that is the beginning of sorrows. Great sorrows shall perplex them. They shall fill the earth. Many things shall transpire. And He warned them. It says in Matthew 24:10, He said, and then shall many be offended. You understand what that means? Many today are offended. They are enticed to sin. They want to sin. They desire to sin. Now that is what that offended is. They are enticed, seduced, willing to sin. They will speak evil, they will do evil, because many are offended today. They say, look at what I've left. Look at what things I'm not enjoying. My, what a foolish generation. They're fools. That's right, brother. And so many are offended today. They're enticed to sin. He said, and shall now, not might, shall betray one another. I've never seen such betrayal in all of my life. Men say, I love you, and yet they have a dagger. They are men of betrayal. They betray. Why? Because they're offended. And you will know they're offended if they are enticed to go back in sin. And that's just the truth, saints. We got to go beyond just reading some scriptures every now and then. We got to begin to study. You don't understand what a word means. You're so shiftless. You will not even take the time or the energy and try to find out what it is. And then you get upset when someone tells you what it is. That's the way we are. An ignorant generation. We get offended. Who does he think he is? Well, he has to be taking the time to understand something he didn't understand. What's wrong with that? I can honor a man for that. He said they shall betray one another. And they shall hate one another. What a hatred today. They will murder one another. Destroy the character. They don't care if it's a lie or whatever it is predicated upon. They will speak without any knowledge. Spirit of a murder. You hate your brother without a cause. You simply hate your brother. You are a murderer. He said they will become, that they will hate one another. He said, and many false prophets shall rise, and not might, but shall deceive many. Now that is the established truth. Shall deceive many. And because iniquity, this contempt to violate Yahweh's laws, this contempt for His laws, this lawlessness in the spirit of wrath, we sense that, we can see it. It shall not come forth but abound. It has strength. The love of many shall wax cold. How do you know what cold love is? He said that their love shall wax cold. He said their love shall wax cold. Come on, you that are married, you can't tell when there's an indifference between your husband and you, or your wife and you, when there's a coldness. All right then. You can't sense when there's a coldness from a brother or sister. Sure you can. Because iniquity abounds and the love shall wax cold. It's no fervent fire of love. When someone loves someone, they will impart unto them truth. For Yahweh so loved the world that He sent Messiah. That's how much He loved us. And He came to reprove the world of sin. He came to show us our sins and our corrupt ways. That's what love will do. That's what love will do. When someone hates you, they will watch you lie. And you will lie with them. They will watch your sins and they will warn you. And you both are in a sin den. Bound and captivated by your own sins. And your own corruption. Hallelujah. He said, but I want to tell you something in verse 13. But he that shall endure through all of these until now, when the trial try you, until it is finished, he said, you will be saved now. The same shall be saved. You will be saved. You endure these things. You overcome these things. You will be saved. He will keep you. If you endure these things, you don't murmur. You can do all things without murmuring and complaining. You can become rebukeless sons of Yahweh in a wicked and an adulterous generation that we are in. The reason we're rebuked because we murmur and we complain. You do all things without murmuring and complaining. And this is a generation that murmurs about everything. They complain about everything. Complain about wife. Complain about husband. Complain about this. Complain about that. Complain about this. It's an ungrateful generation. And so that's why you're always going to take it through the fire. You have to chastise it severely. He is going to chastise us very severely. We must endure in this hour, saints. Endure until the end of the trial. Endure until the end of that trial. Make sure that you have the readiness to stand. You won't deny the truth, His counsel, but that you will stand. Regardless of how things seem. Sons and daughters deliver you up to death, you stand. Father deliver child up, stand. Children deliver parents, stand. We don't do that today. Parents will compromise for their children. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. I will never compromise the truth of Yahweh for son or daughter. I will never do that for mother or daddy. Never have done it, even in my ignorance. When I did not have thorough knowledge of things, I just had a smidgen of what was right. I still stood fast in that. I wouldn't deny the truth. Didn't care what they said. Didn't care how they spoke against me. It caused my heart to weep, but it caused me to rejoice. But I knew I was obeying Him. Well, I could see the principles of life in His truth and in His word. It caused my heart to rejoice with great gladness and fatness. I could stand even in their presence and say, glory to my mighty King. I'm sent to do His will and nothing else, to do the will of the Father and to please Him. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, we can endure. We don't even consider one another. You certainly are not going to consider Messiah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and 3 says, wherefore, seeing now we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight now. Now you can lay aside the weight. You can lay aside the weights, saints. He said, let us lay aside. When you lay something aside, you just put it to the side. That's all you do. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entrap you. Yes. And the sin that so easily entrap you, can I tell you, is when you began to move that thing in your mouth. That tongue of yours is an evil thing. And when you began to move that, that thing began to entrap you. That's when sin began to generate. You began to speak from issues of your old cart of depravity. So you need to lay aside the sin. That's so easy to entrap you. You know what entraps you? Your mouth, your own anger, your own hostility. You ought to lay that aside. Oh, that's what entraps you. Your own tongue. It's not somebody else's tongue that entraps you. It's your own tongue, your own mouth. He said, you can lay that aside. You have the power to bring that under control. And let us run with patience without complaining. Let us run this race that is set before us. Let us endure this race. Let us run this race without complaining. Let us run without making any murmuring unto the Father. That's what Israel did. He brought them out to a great wide place. And they began to murmur. They began to complain. You would think that what he did in that Red Sea and brought them over dry shod. And the Egyptians are saying after them, running after them, they were all drowned. And they sing the songs of gladness. You would have thought now, because their hearts be filled with glad tidings unto the Father. You would think that as the enemy assailed after you, and he brought you out of Egypt, out of sin, out of the cauldron of sin, every kind of foul thing. Yes, in this little small place, every kind of foul sin that can be imaginable has been committed. Every kind of wicked thing that can be thought of has been done. Yet he brought us out of that deep cauldron of sin. We were filled with sin and loss and every kind of foul thing, every kind of unclean thought and every kind of imaginable thing that we could imagine. We tried to perform that. You would think that we would be very grateful and very glad, but we're not. Why? He says in verse 2, looking unto Yahshua, the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross of the sacrifice and suffering. Yet for the joy that was set before him. See, this thing is not a joy to you. It's not a joy to pick up your cross or to pick up that burden every morning. It's not a joy to do that. To deny yourself. It's not a joy to deny yourself. You get no joy to deny yourself. You get angry when you don't deny yourself. I want that. I need that. I like to have that. He says, first of all, you get up and you deny yourself. And then you pick up that sacrifice, this old body, as a living sacrifice. And then you begin to follow him. We get no joy out of that today. We get joy out of temporal and carnal things that bring no satisfaction to the fullness of the heart. And that's why you up, down, sideways on your back, up, down. There's no joy there. Not anything natural is going to fulfill that. Not all the monies. Not sons and daughters, not children, not houses or land. I don't care what you say. It's not going to fulfill that. It's going to take a deep commitment unto him to fulfill that. That's the only thing that's going to fulfill that. Not houses or land, not riches abounding. It's not going to bring any satisfaction to the heart. Not at all. That must be a denial. And Messiah denied himself to please the Father. And we got to deny ourselves to please the Father. And we don't want to do that to please him. We want him to deny himself to please us. And to please just one thing, and that's the component of our flesh, which is vile, is evil, is corrupt. No love in it. That's why you can't love, because you're carnal, you're fleshly. It's in your countenance, in your hearts. And you're going to have to destroy that and crucify it. And I'm not afraid to say it to this house. Not at all. He says in verse 3, he said, consider him in verse 2, consider him that for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. Verse 3, for consider him. Now we don't consider Messiah. You consider no one but yourself. You consider your emotions, your feelings, what you think. Instead, but consider Him that endured such contradiction or opposition. That's what contradiction is. When you contradict something, you oppose it. Such opposition of sinners against Himself now. He should be weary, and you faint in your mind. So that's why you're weary. That's why you faint in your mind. You see the weariness. You can see it in the countenance. Can you tell a weary man from a man that has strength? A weary man, you can tell. He wants you to know he's weary. A man of strength and valor, he wants you to know it. I'm awake and I'm sharp. But a man that is weary, he wants you to know it. But a man of strength, he will know it. He's sharp. He's awake. So this is a generation that's becoming weary. They get weary with correction. They get weary with instructions. They get weary with loving brothers and sisters. They get weary with fellowshipping. They get weary with considering one another. Oh, He is touching your little wicked storehouse, all right? You get weary with being kind. You get weary with showing brotherly love. You get weary. Oh, I don't want to see her. I don't want to see him. I'll go around this way. I'm tired of him. I said, if there's one thing that you always did, He sent me, Brother Yosef, my blessing. Yes, your son. You've taught me a lot, son. Sure He has. Consider Him that endured such opposition, a contradiction of sinners against Himself. At least you get weary and you faint in your mind, whereby you have no ability to consider one another, to love, to be kind, because you can't even endure. You don't consider Him that endured these things. And so you just get weary, and you think, I'm out of it. That's it. But one thing, they're out of it. So you just think, forget it. It's wickedness. It's wickedness. Here's one man that will tell you, and I say, each one of you that's sitting here tonight, you better begin to govern this thing. That thing, I'm warning you. What a statement. He said, don't even go to the Gentiles. He said, don't do that. I'm telling you, He's not going to the Gentiles in this hour. He is coming. He's gathering the sheep from the four corners of the wind. He's going to gather them to bring them into His house. You want the righteous man. You want the wicked. What about knows the laws of Yahweh, and He continuously to have disdain for them? Even the stranger, when he came into Jerusalem and did what was right on the Shabbat, he received the blessing. Sure he did. And that hasn't changed. He hasn't changed one bit at all. James chapter 5 verse 9. Your way, that's right. You know, he gets back there and he hollers out that name, your way. Sure he does. It says in James chapter 5 verse 9. It says, grudge not one another, brethren. You mean He tells us to do that? Was He talking to brethren? No, He was talking to sinners. He said, brethren. He said, at least you'll be condemned. You're going to be condemned. You're going to be damned in hell. And we don't think that that's going to condemn one. Would you begrudge your brother or sister? He said, at least you be condemned. Behold, the judge standing before the door. He said, take my brother. Now, I want you to understand the prophets who have spoken in the name of Yahweh for an example of suffering, afflictions, and patience. But you take them. You consider what they have endured. He said, take the prophets. For an example. And what you need to do is go back and see how the prophets suffered. See how Isaiah and Ezekiel and all the prophets suffered. And Micah and Obadiah. He said, you take them. You go back and read the prophets. And see how they suffered and how they died. He said, you consider them. You go back and remember the prophets. We don't even remember Fred. Brother Charles is not even thought of. Charlie. Evangelist Horn is far from the minds. Even Brother Ray. even trouble your thoughts today. He said, consider their suffering, affliction, and their patience, their ability to know that you always had them in that place to suffer those things. And they didn't complain. They didn't murmur. They didn't say anything. They just endured. He said, behold now. He said, look, we count them what? Happy which endure. We count them happy which endure. And see, when those that truly endure, they're happy. You find those that are not happy, they have no endurance. You find someone that is not happy, they can't endure nothing. That's their problem. They will say someone else's fault, lies. It is their own deceitful, wicked heart. He said, happy, behold, happy is them that, he said, behold, we count them happy which endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Jacob, and I've seen the end. You've seen the purpose of Yahweh. That Yahweh was very pitiful and of tender mercy. Going through that, he was very pitiful and of tender mercy. Yes, that's what Scripture says. Why? Because his mercies endureth forever. His mercies endure forever. So happy is the man when he knows that he is enduring for the sake of Almighty Yahweh. That man is happy. Not because he suffered, because he thinks he's right and he's suffering. A greater strength is the man that when he suffers and he knows he's suffering something that he shouldn't suffer, but yet he endured with patience without complaining. That's the strength of a man. Not because, Pastor Robert, you said I did this and I didn't do it. Well, if I say you did it and you didn't do it, then you suffer that you do it. That's the great strength of a man. Scripture says that. It's not what I say. It's what Scripture says. That's what Scripture says. John chapter 6, verse 26. Let me move through this. It says, chapter 6, verse 26. Yeshua answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. He said, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and you were filled. That's what most of them have sought him for. Because his whole house has told you, get saved, you get anything you want. That's what he's told the people. But he told them, he said, now I want you to labor. Do you understand what laboring is? It's an intense effort. He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting. Now that's the meat we ought to labor for, the meat that endureth. Messiah said, I have meat to eat you know not of. The meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. Now that's the meat you need to labor for. All right, not the meat for your belly. He takes care of the sparrows of the sky. So he's going to take care of you for that. He says, that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath Yahweh the Father sealed. Just like he sealed the 141,000. He said, for him hath the Father sealed. The Father has sealed the Son. Now that's what we need to labor for, saints, for the meat that endureth. Well, what is the meat that endureth? I want to show you that. This is to do the will of the Father. And he told us what his will is. Look at chapter 8 of the same book. Verse 31. Yohanan 8:31. Then said Yahshua to the Yehudas, which believed on him. He said, if ye continue, if you endure now, then that's what that word endure means, continue means. If you endure or you tarry in my word, he said, then ye are my disciples indeed. And that's why we don't have discipleship. Because we don't endure the word of Yahweh. We get offended. We get mad as a wolf without a sheep. He said, but if you continue, you endure in my word, then you shall be my disciples emphatically and indeed. And he said, and only then shall you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what the truth does. It makes you free. The truth makes you free. If we continue or we endure in the word. See, we must endure in the word. The word takes us down a path and we get so far we say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to deny myself, honey. I'm not going to deny my son. No, ma'am. I don't believe the law meant that. You always meant what he says. If he didn't mean it, then he's a flat out liar. And I don't see that opposing or to say something to try to offend my father. But if he doesn't mean what he says, he's a flat out liar. And he says by his immutability he cannot lie. He means what he says. What he tells you to do in this book, he means for you to do it. He means it. I want to show you why we have no power to really endure. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All of you always say you have it, but you really don't. When a man has the power to endure, he's not inflamed with such hostility and anger all the time. He's not as easily offended. And this is a generation that is so cream puff. It is so soft. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4, I want to begin reading. It said, love suffereth long. And that's what love does. I know what it says in that text, but love suffereth long. Suffereth. Do you understand what we count the long suffering of Yahweh's salvation? It suffereth and endureth patiently long. And is kind. Now, if you don't have no kindness about you, you don't have no love. That's just it. And it is kind. Love envieth not. It doesn't covet anything. It doesn't covet anyone else's ability. Quiet, huh? Good. He said, love vaunteth not itself. It doesn't display itself. It's not an arrogant thing. Love is not an arrogant thing. Self-display. One vaunteth itself to say, look at me. Love doesn't do that. It says, it is not puffed up. It is not filled with pride. It's lofty. Look, that's not love. That's trash. Look at me. I love Sister Robert. That's trash. That's not no love for Sister Roberts. Flat out, vaulted, puffed up, trash. That's all it is. I'll show you. It says it does not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't act like a fool. No, love doesn't do that. Love doesn't behave itself unseemly. Come on, wives, you love your husband. You will not behave unseemly. You will not even cause them to look unseemly. You will not put them in a position to bring shame upon them. That's the truth. Come on, husbands. You love your wife? You won't do that. I don't care if you don't love me. It's a little schoolgirl boy thing you call that love. Handhold. That ain't love. That's play stuff. This is love right here. And it never says anything about that either. It says, it beareth all things. Let me move back. It says, it doesn't behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, desire not its own. That's what love does. It doesn't desire its own. When you're so selfish and greedy, it's all about you. You can't even love nothing. I don't desire that. I don't seek my own. There's nothing I want. I want to see him, truly. I don't want land. I don't want houses. If I want anything, I want it for you all. It's not for me. That's nothing I want. Nothing. And that's the truth. I don't want no money. I don't need a lot of money. Because there's nothing I want. There's nothing I want to buy. Nothing. I mean nothing. Where am I going to? Walmart? Target? They all got the same China wear stuff. Where I'm going to Nemo's Markets? What's the difference between a $300 necktie and a $6 one? Just a necktie. It's crazy. See, love, it's seeking not her own. It is not easily irritated. It is not easily angered. All right, so look at yourself. You think about you. Say, Father, help me. It's not easily provoked. It's not easily aroused. Yeah, just help you, Father. Just come on, take your finger, say, help me, Father. Come on, say, help me, Father. Come on. Come on, yeah, say, help me, Father. Yeah, you need the help. It's not easily provoked. It's thinking no evil. You know you need help on that line, don't you? Your mind's full of evil and evil thoughts. You say you love your liar. Lies. You better begin to study this thing they call the book. And that's just love. Can I ask you a question? Does Yahweh think evil? He think corrupt. He made good and evil. He made life and death. He say, choose life. Choose good. Huh? He says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, in unlawful wicked deeds. When you know you're doing wrong and you rejoice and you're still happy, something wrong. But you know you're doing wrong, and you know you're not right. Something is wrong in your soul. You need a preacher like me to rebuke you and to reprove you and to show you your wickedness. It rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. And it says, rejoice as it shouts because it hears the truth. And when you don't rejoice, that's what love does. It rejoices in truth. And when you can't rejoice in truth, it's because you don't have no kind of love in your, that little unsanctified soul of yours. It said it beareth now. Do you bear anything? It beareth all things. And that is to suffer. Yes. When a person beareth, it's suffering. It covers that suffering with silence. It doesn't boast. It doesn't say anything. But it beareth not some things, but all things. Yes. It believeth all things. It believeth the truth. It believes what is right. Yes. It hopes in all things. Yes. And this is the kicker right here. See, it endureth all things. Hatred, opposition, lies against you, affliction, it endureth. That's the power. Love endureth. I don't care what you go through, love will cause you to endure. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It endureth all things. And when you got that shown up bona fide spirit of love in you, you will endure all things. I don't care what it is. Messiah, he loved the Father. He endured the shame of suffering, of that death, of that stake, the cross. He endured all things. Why? Because he loved the Father. And that is what love does. It endures all things. We can't endure nothing. You can endure the smallest infraction. It's going to take this to save us, saints. It's going to take this for us to endure until the end. This trash you feed yourself is like how we feed ourselves, that we could just eat the way we wanted to. Bubble gum and sugar pops and trash. We feed our souls with trash, and that's why there's no health and no marrow in our bones. If you eat trash physically, you'll look that way. You eat right, you physically, you will present an opposing sculpture there. You really will. A healthy looking countenance. You will. You eat bubble gum all the time and you like sweet pops and sugar rolls. You're going to look a mess. Your teeth going to rot out. Your gums are going to be in bad shape. Your breath going to stink. Your body's going to stink. That's just the truth. You get a good meal and you become very vibrant. You become bona fide. You know what an athlete trained for his specific type of endeavor? They don't go out eating McDonald's hamburgers. They need a proper meal. They got to have the proper proteins. And the carbohydrates. They got to drink enough water. You got to drink this living water from the time you get up, even through your sleep, all day, all night, 24/7. You got to drink the living water. You like soda pops more than you like water. Isn't that something? Because that's the only thing that really brings alive the skin is water. No shorty pops. No juice. Water. That's the only thing to give life to the first water. Nothing else. Nothing less. Nothing else keeps the elasticity there but water. And that's the same thing with our soul. We got to have the living water. Truth. See, when one has that true, pure love of Yahweh in them, they endureth all things. They endure all things. They endure without murmuring or complaining. They do. That's what the Word says. These are not my words. This is in the book that you're holding. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we endure, you got to suffer. Now, it says, if we suffer. So there's no alternative there. If we suffer... 2 Timothy 2:12. So you must suffer. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will what? He's going to deny you. If we believe not, yet he abided faithful, he cannot deny himself. And he's not going to do it for you or anyone. If we endure, we're going to reign with him. You must endure this, saints, the opposition of hell. Even the very things of your mind says you got to endure it. It's going to take a press. It's going to take a faithfulness. You're going to have to just stand still. And after you've done all the stand still, you just still stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of your eye. That's what we must do. Jacob, James. Turn there quickly. James 1. Verse 7 through verse 12. It says, "For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of Yahweh." He's talking about a man that is double-minded, a man that has no stability. He said, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Father." A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He's a very restless man. He cannot be stable. He's a restless man. He said, "Let the brother," now look what he says, "let the humble brother," truly what it says, "let the humble brother of low degree," he said, "rejoice in that he is exalted." Let him rejoice that he is exalted. He says, "But the rich brother, the one that has a great strength and character, in that he is made low," he is humiliated, he's brought low. "They will fight you tooth and nail. They will rage like a beast out of hell." Now the low one don't want to be exalted, and the one of high estate, he does not want to be humbled. He said, "Because as the flower," listen now. He said, "Because as you look at the flowers out there of the grass, he shall pass away. You're both going to die." Now that's just the end of it all. You're going to pass away. So whatever he does, you ought to just rejoice. He said, "But the sun is no sooner risen and burning at a burning heat, but it withereth the grass and the flowers thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also now is the rich man that fade away in his ways." He said, "But I will tell you something. Fullness shall overtake this man. Blessed is the man that endureth temptations," or the trials, "as he's tried. For when he is tried," when he has been proven, "he shall receive the crown of life, which Yahweh has promised to them that" what? "Love him. And when you love him, you endureth all things." That's what love does. It endureth all things. It suffereth long. That's why we don't love him. And when you can't love him, first of all, you gotta love him. You can't love no one. You can't love your brother, sister. You can't love wife. You can't love husband. You can't love children. No, you can't. That's just it. You may have an emotion that substantiates what you call love, but it's not the love. Because it endureth. Sure does. It suffereth long. It beareth all things. That's all right, Father. It is still your truth. It's not anything that I'm making up. 1 Peter chapter 2. Kafar. 1 Kafar Peter chapter 2. Verse 19. "For this is faint-worthy." Look at this now. You ought to be faithful now. He said, "If a man, for conscience sake toward Yahweh, endure now grief, sorrow, pains, affliction." He endured that. "Suffer wrongfully." If he endure that, just, you know, he's not a culprit of anything. Just suffer wrongfully. He said, "For what glory is it if when we be buffeted or beaten for our own faults?" When you know you've done something, what honor is that? And you've been beaten for that. He said, "You ought to be beaten." He said, "You shall take it patiently." Question mark, isn't it? You should endure that without complaining. He said, "But if when ye do well, and you suffer for it, ye take it patiently." He said, "This is commendable with Yahweh." This is acceptable with Yahweh. He said, "This is what is commendable. You do something wrong, and you get rebuilt, and you endure that." He said, that's not even commendable. He said, "But when you're doing right, and then you suffer, that's commendable unto Yahweh." Now that's the mark of a true soldier. He dressed right and he's covered down. He's ready for the battle and the opposition of hell. For even hereunto were ye called. Called for what? Well, we've been called to be righteous. He said, "Because Messiah also," what? "Suffered." He endured for us, leaving us an example that we should walk in some other way. See, that's it. And we should walk in whose step? His step. You without any excuse. You don't even know how he walked, what he endured, what he suffered. He said, we should walk in his steps. That's what it says now. You think he means what he says? You think we can't do that? If we don't do this, we're going to be in trouble, saints. He said, we should walk in, we should follow his steps. Who did no sin now? He said, neither were there guile, deceitful, crafty talking found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he reviled not. Again, when he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself unto him that judge righteously. That's what he did. That's why we rail. That's why when someone reviles us, we revile. Because we don't commit ourselves unto him because we don't believe that Yahweh judge righteously. We think our judgment is righteous. It's a wicked judgment. Who himself bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin. See, now, if we're dead to sin now, we should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes we were healed. What a profound statement. When we are really dead unto sin, when we are truly being dead, we were dead unto sin, we should live unto righteousness. And by the stripes, then we are healed. We know we are healed. We are restored, saints. It's going to take that power to endure in this hour. You're not. You're going to have the pure love of Yahweh in you to endure. You're not going to do it because you said that I'm going to do it. You're going to have that pure law for His truth and for His righteous laws to endure. You don't have that. You're not going to endure. That's why we have a love for our own sensual, fleshly laws. When someone offends, we rail back. Someone says something to us, we're going to get them told. Someone says something we don't like, we're going to show them what we don't like about that. That's what we do. It's wickedness. It's not the law of Yahweh. And that's why we sense many things that are transpired in our, even in our physical bodies. That's why they're happening. That's just it. But we are dead to sin, we live unto righteousness. He said, when you live unto that righteousness, as the righteous law said by his stripes we're healed, then we're healed, saints. That's just it. Nothing you can add to that. It's a simple truth. We just buy the truth and we don't sell it not. That's what we must do. We must buy that. And when you get that pure, sincere love of the Father in your heart, you will endure. You will endure. I don't care what the world says. Give his mother, daddy, whomever. You will endure. That is the place we need to get to, the saints. And that's the truth. We need that power to endure in this hour. Because every opposition, false prophets, many shall be deceived by them. And they're going to follow their ways. And that's what is happening today. So we need endurance. What is that, preacher? Well, to stand in the place he calls you to stand, that he has called you to stand. And you stand there and wait upon him patiently without complaining. That's just like a wife, husband said, I'll be there at 5 o'clock. And he doesn't make it. At 5. The first thing she thinks, or he thinks, he doesn't think maybe something has happened. He begins to become angry. The anger begins to rise. What? How is she? I'm a buster. Told at 5 o'clock. He doesn't know what has happened. Really. He may think, well, maybe something happened, but yet, even that, he becomes even more incensed. You all know that one, all right? Don't shit here like hypocrites on me, all right? Okay, thank you. All right? As soon as he sees her, she sees him, the first thing he does, it goes off. You should have been here! See, that's not the spirit of Yahweh. That's wrong. That's the first thing they do. Instead of seeing them, they say, bless you, Father, thank you. Well, at least you made it. Bless your wife. Girl, I was mad and upset, but I'm glad everything is all right. Honey, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. That's the truth, saints. That is the truth. We see we have no endurance. Yahweh will allow those things to try us and show us we are lacking it because we need the pure love of Yahweh in our hearts. Be blessed. You give you strength.